Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of Acts. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
And they took Sosthenes, who was, remember, the new ruler of the synagogue. He took over after Crispus turned to Jesus. And so they gave him a good beating before the judgment seat. I don't know whether they thought maybe if it was the Jews, you could, that kind of makes sense because they're bringing, you're making this look bad, and, you know, they're going to pound on them, or who knows exactly. Or maybe it was the Greeks and they just decided, hey, you're making a big stink out of nothing. This will teach you to bring this kind of stuff to Galileo. I don't know. Does it really matter? The guy got a good whooping, right? That's what we all agree on. We can agree on that. The guy got a good whooping. And so they took him to the judge's seat and they beat him. And Galilee just didn't even take any notice. But if you will look at, you don't have to turn to it, but just make a note of 1 Corinthians verse 1 of chapter 1. We find that there is an insertion there of this particular fellow as being greeted as part of the body of Christ. He got saved too. Good beating, then he got saved. So, you know, there's something to say for some of this. I say this because sometimes we're praying for people. We're praying for friends. And we're watching all of a sudden the world around them start beating them up. We're praying for them to get saved, and then we watch the world around them start beating them up. We can start thinking, golly, you know. I've had people ask me, please do not pray for me anymore. You know, whatever's happening, it's not good right now for me. And I explained to them, no, listen, this is good. God loves you so much. He's making you uncomfortable with your circumstances. He's making you aware of your situations in life, and it's okay. He's getting beat up, eventually sees the reality of what's going on, and gets saved. That's Sosthenes, and many of us, I would say. Get a good whooping by the world. You realize, man, you know what? I really do need a Savior. I need Jesus, man. Great lesson to learn. Verse 18. So Paul still remained a good while, and then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Granicia. You can pronounce that yourselves, of course, as always. For he had taken a vow, the vow of a Nazarite. You say, well, golly, I thought he's all into grace and everything. Now he's taking this vow. What's going on, you know? He's a Jew. He took a vow of a Nazarite. And for him, this is just a statement of commitment. That's all he's doing. He's just making a statement of commitment. In his mind, he understood what he was doing, what it was all about. He wasn't trying to be more righteous by doing it or any of these things. If you are trying to be more righteous when you are fasting, if you are trying to get a more right standing with God through fasting, then you have grossly misunderstood fasting. You cannot become any more righteous than the washing and cleansing of the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in your heart. Anything you aspire to do to make yourself more right is a spitting in God's face. That's my Italian version of that. It is a spitting. It's spitting. I don't know how that happened. That just happened. But it is spitting in God's face by saying that I'm going to do this, and so that's going to make me more right. No, it's a finished work of the cross. We need to embrace that. We need to know that. We need to be encouraged in that. Paul's not doing it for those reasons. He just took this vow of a Nazarite. He just wanted to draw close to the Lord, and it's just a statement of commitment to God. You will notice that in their society, males were normally always referred to as the only prominent ones. That was the way their society worked. Isn't it interesting that Priscilla's name got mentioned first? The Holy Spirit knows, doesn't he? I think that's so cool that she was a really right-on gal, man, and was acknowledged in such a way. Luke, being the one that's penning this, knows exactly what he's doing. In the Spirit of God, you know, knows that, you know, he's writing her name down. Man, she was really right on also and is acknowledged in that way as being first mentioned. And he came to Ephesus. They got there into Ephesus. and left them there, left Priscilla and Aquila there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And then they wanted him to stick around a longer time, but he did not consent. He took leave of them, saying, "I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. But I will return again to you." If you haven't got this highlighted, if you haven't got this marked or an asterisk by it or something, mark it out, note it. "But I will return to you, God willing." Oh, the things that we forget about prefacing our lives with "God willing." God willing. This is our intent. And he sailed from Ephesus. His desire is to come back to Ephesus. He wants to be there. I'd encourage you on that topic to read a little bit more, maybe out of James chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. He starts talking about that. That's a good portion of Scripture to think about. There's a few verses in there regarding that. But God willing. It's God's will that we want to see fulfilled. It's our desire to please God. Man, I want to come back. I will return again to you, but it's God willing. The first things first. I'm hoping, you know, that the Lord allows this and that it's within his perfect will. And we had landed at Caesarea and gone up. And where do you go up to in the Scriptures? Jerusalem. You always go up to Jerusalem. So when you find something like that and it's not specific, you know that's where they're heading. They're going up. Go up to Jerusalem. So we had gone up and to Jerusalem and greeted the church. He went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia. He went through systematically, basically saying he went to this place first, that place, that place, that place. And so he went systematically through, strengthening all the disciples. So what was he doing? He went out first and he was what? Reaching. And he's coming back through as started off reaching, teaching them. And he's coming back strengthening the same way, just encouraging them with the word, encouraging them with the word. And man, I'm telling you, when you go through and you talk with people, you interact, this is what it's about. This is why we take the time to set up a table in the back and have coffee and snacks and all that stuff, is because that's where we kind of connect up a lot of times. You can come alongside and talk to someone and interact with them. It's an important segment of what's going on. It's a place of contact, of fellowship, of interaction. And we can strengthen one another in these places. It's really important. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. So, this guy's pretty happening guy. He's a Jew. We've got his name. We know where he is born. Alexandria is the second largest city in the Roman Empire at the time. It was a big deal, you know, I mean, big place. And roughly, interestingly enough, a third of the population there was Jewish. So it was a large Jewish contingency there. This guy was an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures. So he was a real sharp guy, real able to articulate himself well. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. Now, you've got to read this last little bit, the very end of verse 25. "Though he knew only the baptism of John." Now, the fact is that Apollos was an awesome guy, really, no doubt about it. He was a great guy. We see that. He was eloquent. He was able to say. Now, brothers and sisters, it's very easy to feel a quenching because of what you think you don't know. The point is, the reason I'm saying this, is there will always be someone that knows more than you. That's not a brand new concept, okay? There's always someone that's going to know more than you about topics, about situations, about things. That's good. That's okay. The thing is, though, is it didn't stop him from running with the information that he had. He ran with the information he had. All he knew about was what went on with John the Baptist, right? All he knew about was, hey, repent, you know, the kingdom of God's drawing near. Repent, prepare your hearts, make way straight the way of the Lord. You know, I mean, this is what he's just running with, the general, whatever he's got. We can shy away from interacting and talking with people. We can kind of pull back and resist, you know, some levels of interaction because we don't know. Just tell somebody, yeah, I'm not really sure. But I try and tell them what I do know. Go with what you know. Share what you do know. You don't need to fake anything. You don't need none of that, but share what you do know. If you know Jesus Christ in your heart, you know an awful lot. And the Holy Spirit can do great things through your life. If you've reopened your heart to Jesus Christ, you know a lot. And though he knew only the baptism of John, in other words, he didn't stop with just because, well, I don't know anything else, so I'm not going to talk to anybody. He just ran with what he did know. He really didn't know about the cross yet. He didn't know about the resurrection, any of that. And so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. So he's talking about this. He's being open about this. But when Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they stood up in the middle of the gathering and they said, golly, you don't know anything. You sit down, man. They didn't do any of that, did they? I love what they did. Priscilla and Aquila, man, they kind of just got a hold of him and said, hey, man, this is truly broing down with somebody. This would be my term if you're looking for a definition of broing down with someone as a Christian. This is it, okay? He comes along, they come alongside of Apollos and say, listen, man, that's great. John the Baptist was a great brother, wasn't he? But listen, there's a little bit more info. And they start to share with him a little bit more. They took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. More accurately. They talked to him about the most excellent way, didn't they? The way of love, the way of the Word, the way of what really, as the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ. They started sharing with him about who Jesus was, really in giving him enlightenment. Now, Apollos was a sharp guy, agreed? He was a smart guy. Not only was he a smart guy, he was eloquent, man. He was very able to communicate clearly. Was he a pride, pompous idiot? No. He had two ears and was willing to listen. That is so important. That is so significant. That is so significant to you. That is so significant to me. Especially when we are a part of a Bible teaching through the Word. Not just Bible speaking, but Bible teaching. In other words, we're not just speaking about a couple of scriptures and calling it a day. Okay? We are going from Genesis to Revelation. We want to cover the Bible in its entirety and teach through it. It's important. It's significant because every part of it matters to you and to me, and it pertains to our life. The thing is, and why I say that is because it's easy for us to think, you know, I've kind of read through that. I've done some of my own studies on that. I kind of know about that. So you're incapable of learning anymore? I'm incapable of learning anymore? I've taught through it several times. Well, okay, so that means I'm in... No. Each time you go through, you want to hear what God wants to say today, what he wants to minister to my heart, to your heart today. What does he have to say to you right now? How does he want to interact with you and make himself known to you? How does he want to help you in your situation today? Yesterday's problems yesterday. What about today? What does he want to prepare you for tomorrow? That's what it's all about, grabbing a hold of these truths. Man, I love that about him. He was open to it. He wasn't prideful. He listened to them, and when he desired to cross to Achaia, brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace. For he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. That's what Christ means, the anointed one, the one who can meet. I believe the deepest need is that people know Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about, well, I've heard about God. Well, maybe I know about God and I kind of, you know, I go to church and so therefore I'm a Christian. And it has to be clearly defined over and over again because we live in a society that's polluted the definition. Being a Christian and being born again is very clear, very clear, very straightforward. We have to surrender our life and giving our heart to our Lord and Savior, understanding that I'm a sinner and that I need Jesus, that I'm empty without God, and there's only one way to have a relationship with the one true living God, and that's through Jesus Christ. He said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. I know you know this. I'm reinforcing this with those of you who are aware, those of you who are maybe skeptical or questioning this or thinking about this. I really believe Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the one who came to save the world. And I believe that he is the answer to society's problems, my problems, personal, group, whatever. He is the answer. People will go almost anywhere. Oh, let me back up. Go into the bookstore and go to the self-help section. Vast section. Why? Why are there so many books on this topic? Well, because I guess people think they need help, right? And it's just a packed section of all kinds of books saying, this is now the new way I can help you. This is the new way that you can get this better. This is the way you can be a better this or a better that or this, all that goes on and on and on. Will you turn with me, and this is where we'll close, turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 5. There were people that were in desperate need, invalids and issues, physical maladies, all kinds of things. And they just kind of hung around the pool of Bethesda. They just kind of hung around there, kind of on the fringes and stuff. And the whole idea was there was, for them, this is their thought process, well, there was this angelic being that would come down and stir the water. First guy in, okay, first guy in the water got healed. This is the way it reads. I'm just kind of giving you you can read through the whole story later yourself, but this is kind of how it reads. And there was a certain guy there. Let me back up. Verse 4. Let's pick it up at verse 4. For an angel went down at certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. So you don't just take my word for it. This is the word. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. So they're there. What is the person? There's 1,000 people. I don't know. There's 12 people, there's 2,000, I don't know. There's just a large grouping of people that hang around the pool of Bethesda. And what is their desire? To be made well, right? They have now hope. The hope is what? That they'll be the first one in. But the desire is to be made well, right? That's the desire. What does our society need? What do we need? We need to be made well. Everybody, we need this. This guy's hanging out there. He can be healed of whatever disease. And verse 5 says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. He's been struggling for a while, huh? And when Jesus saw him lying there, Jesus, the anointed one, the Son of the living God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus, the anointed one. He comes along and he looks over. He sees him lying there, this guy. And he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time. Jesus knew he's been, and Jesus knows everything. He looks over at him. This guy's been here a long while. He's been like this a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? Now, to you, to me, this guy, maybe, he might be just thinking, you got to be kidding me. You know, what do you think I'm doing here? You know, I'm hanging out with these other lamos and, you know, we're just, okay, right? Just hanging out. He's lame. He knows he's lame. We know we're lame. I know I'm lame. I want to be healed. Jesus comes along by the way of you, by the way of me, because we are his eyes, his ears, his hands, and feet here on this earth presently. We are the body of Christ. You come along, I come along, somebody comes along and says, you get the phone call. Instead of going down this road of, well, you know, I'm sure things will work out for you, just stop the nonsense, tell them the truth. Do you really want help? Do you want to be made well? Do you really want to be helped in this matter? You can take them to the anointed one. You are a representative of the anointed one. You in and of yourself, no power, no ability, except for what you can pass on to the Father. You can pass this person on to Jesus. Get him to Jesus. Get her to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. Get that situation to Jesus. Do you want to be made well? It's pretty much a yes or no response, right? Yes, is that, do you want to be made well? They're going to, what's the other person on the other end of the line going to say? Yeah, but you know, I, do you want to be made well? Get to the yes or no. Look at what, this is so awesome. The sick man answered him, didn't say the yes or no like he should have. Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, he's been there a while, trying to head for the water. Another steps down before me. I'm just about to get my foot in, and some guy beats me to the water. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Doesn't leave a whole lot of excuses when he says that, does it? What's the issue? What's the struggle? What's the pet sin that you want to get rid of that you're just struggling with? Take up your bed and walk. Go. Remember when the woman was caught in the act of adultery? He looked at her and he said, you know, where are your accusers now? And he says, man, go and sin no more. It's forgiven. Move on. Go forward from this place. Sin no more. He's the anointed one, the one who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one that is able to forgive. He's the one that can help and really meet the deepest need. Does that mean there isn't going to be a problem for someone? It means that they have hope and that there's solutions that are way beyond anything else, because the problem is a runny nose. It's just symptomatic of a deep infection, okay? It's just the runny nose. It's not the issue, oftentimes. It's just the symptom of the issue. Go to the heart of it. Do you want to be made well? Listen for the excuses and then encourage them. Hey, listen. Pray with them. Lead them to Jesus. Pray that simple prayer of faith with them. Invite them to have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's yours, brothers and sisters. You're the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. It's not someone else's job. When someone calls, it's not someone else's job. If someone calls you, it's your opportunity. It's an opportunity. Isn't that awesome? Help point them to the Savior, the one who can really meet the need, the Anointed One. There's people sitting around the pool of Bethesda around us all day long, every day. They need help. They need hope. Just when they think they're going to get through it and past it, somebody else does it.
Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks again for listening to the Bible study today, and I trust that God is speaking to your heart. Oftentimes when we hear God's word, it kind of pricks our hearts and there's a desire to respond. And I want to give you that opportunity to respond to God today by giving your life to Jesus if you've never given your life to Jesus. And if you want that free gift of salvation, everlasting life, it's yours. All you have to do is pray a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you've walked with God at some point in your life, but you're just not walking with Him today and want to get right with Him. This is an opportunity for you. You know, many make fun of Jesus' second coming, that they're wondering, hey, is Jesus ever going to come back? And they make fun of it, kind of asking, where's the promise of His coming? You know, trying to act like God's forgotten about us. Well, God's not forgotten about you, me, or this world. But the real reality is the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, that's God's heart, is that we would get to that place of repentance. That means to turn away from something and to begin to follow something else, turning away from our sin and our sinful thoughts and our sinful actions in our lives that are so destructive, and then willingly follow Him. That's His desire, that we wouldn't perish, but that we'd have everlasting life. If you'd pray a simple prayer of faith with me right now, right where you are, right whatever's going on in your life, if you just take this brief moment from your heart to pray this prayer and just ask Jesus, I want to ask that You would forgive me of all my sin.
I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and I want to ask that you would be my personal Lord and Savior, that you'd come into my heart, make my heart your home, and that I would begin this new life, this new journey with you, Jesus. I thank you so much for loving me, and I thank you for forgiving me. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus Christ.